Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? And wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and you are listening to Anti-Media Radio. It is August the 27th, 2015. We are your home away from home. A way to break away from the corporate agenda, a way to escape the mainstream narrative. So far in 2015, there have been 779 people killed by police officers in the United States of America. 79 officers have died in the line of duty. Of those 79, that includes 20 from automobile accidents, 13 from heart attacks, and 22 from guns. 1,911 people have been shot in the city of Chicago so far this year. A city with gun control, a city with so-called strict gun laws. 1,911 people shot, 322 homicides. We will definitely be talking a little bit more about that tonight with gun control, a topic of conversation really not only around the country but around the world. 128 people have been beheaded so far this year by Saudi Arabia, the great American ally that does no wrong. Saudi Arabia has also been accused recently from Human Rights Watch of dropping cluster bombs. That is something we've already talked about multiple times over the past couple of months. Some of the war crimes that Saudi Arabia is committing right now in Yemen with the Saudi-led coalition backed by the United States. I want to bring on tonight Mr. Shannon Madden, who is always with us. He is not in the studio tonight. He is out and about doing some stuff for us away from the studio. Shannon, how you doing tonight, sir?
Absolutely wonderful, Mr. Gibson. How you doing?
Oh, can't complain. Just trying to keep up with everything going on in the news right now, which is a lot.
Quite a bit.
So, I tell you what, before we even get started here, before we talk about anything, let's address the situation in Virginia for half a second. Terribly sad situation, terribly, terribly sad. Andy Parker, who is the father of Allison Parker, who was killed yesterday, as most everybody knows, by, you know, a crazed gunman. He has been on all the news channels for the past 24 hours, promoting gun control. I don't think if I had just lost my daughter, I wouldn't personally be going on news channels, but I'm not about to judge him. I can't imagine the grief that he's going through. And, you know, to him, that may be the right thing to do. Outside of him, though, you have the governor of Virginia coming out yesterday morning. I mean, within an hour of this taking place, pushing for gun control. I mean, they politicized the situation so fast, the politicians have. And to me, for the media and the politicians to politicize this so fast is just absolutely disgusting.
Well, I mean, you know, but what else do we expect from that side of the media? Just like what do we expect from the other side of the media that's going to, push for every man, woman, and child in America to be armed? I mean, you know, there has to be a healthy balance somewhere. Gun control is certainly not going to do it. Chicago has pretty much kind of spelled that out as far as how that's going to go down. Let's go ahead and take all the guns away from law-abiding people that are protecting themselves and give them to the black market, which, again, you can get anything on the black market.
You can, and here's one, too. They talk about, first off, there's 340 million guns right now on the streets in the United States, you know, whether in somebody's house or whatever, 340 over, actually, because that's from a stat from 2012. But those guns aren't going to go away. They're not just going to evaporate because you pass a law. And we also, you know, background checks is a big thing. You've heard me say it many times, Shannon. I would love to live in a world where, you know, the guns didn't exist and we didn't have to worry about these problems, but we have to deal with reality. And the reality is there are over 300 million guns inside the United States. We do know that a background check would not have prevented Bryce Williams from obtaining the guns that he used yesterday to kill those two people.
Oh, I'm sure that and it'll probably surface that he was able to successfully pass a background check.
It's already come out.
Illegally.
Yes. He would have passed, yeah.
Yes. I mean, you know, again, we're talking about a news anchor, a man in a position of prominence, a good job, college educated. Why wouldn't you give him a gun? Seems like a perfect candidate. Man's just trying to defend himself.
That's it. So,
yeah.
You know, I don't know the answer here, and I know it's a very, you know, emotional topic for a lot of people, especially with the situation that's going on right now. And outside of, you know, some of the higher-ups and the politicians, I think the majority of Americans all do want the same thing. I think the Americans, you know, pushing for the gun control just want to keep people safe. And that we're not talking about the corporations or the politicians, or really even the media, but just your average person that you run into on the street that wants gun control, I think it's because they want to keep people safe. But I think they're looking to government to fix a problem that government cannot fix, which is most every problem.
Well, that was the reason we all had guns to begin with, or at least our founding fathers granted us that right, is to protect us from a tyrannical government. And, well, is our government tyrannical right now?
You know.
Maybe.
It is what it is.
Maybe. Let's go ahead and be clear right now. We're not telling citizens to arm themselves and go, let's go down, storm down to the White House. That's absolutely crazy talk. You won't make it even close. You may be able to get off a shot or two, but that's going to be pretty much it, and then it's your ass after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with all that, everybody. See how well it worked out for Bryce Williams and his little personal crusade. It definitely ended with his life. And you know, regardless of whether anybody feels that's right or wrong, I mean, that's another topic for another day, I guess. You know, the point of the matter is, and again, it also can be argued that had that reporter and cameraman been able to carry their own personal guns to work, which I'm sure that their work forbid them from doing so, as many other jobs to do here in America. You can't take your gun to work. You know, actually, I know a young lady that was fired for taking her gun to work because she was bringing it for personal protection. It could be argued that if they had their own guns, they could have defended themselves. Now, we've seen the video footage. I'm pretty sure most of America has, and it happened so quickly, I don't think that there would have been enough time for a reaction. But then again, who knows? We've taken that element out of it, so really there's no way we could ever know that answer, because we had three people dead, all by gunfire.
That's very true. Very true. We could see. We'll come back to this topic here a little bit later. Right now, I want to bring on Miss Claire Burnish. If you're a listener of the show, you know Claire is our wonderful, fantastic writer for theantimedia.org, and has just also recently been named the editor in chief for the Pontiac Tribune. Miss Claire, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
I can't complain. I know you're exhausted.
Excuse me for a second, SM. You told me she did not be calling in tonight, and I was oh so disappointed. How are you doing, Miss Claire? How's the mood?
I'm doing pretty well. Tired. I am tired.
I bet you are.
So, yes. Okay. Before... There's an article coming out tomorrow, Claire, that I want you to talk about. But before you do, let me kind of give everybody the rundown of my situation for the past 24 hours or so. On Tuesday night, we posted a meme on the Facebook page, as we do for the beginning of every radio show to promote the show. And it was one of Donald Trump, and it was a picture of him, and below it was a picture of a Nazi flag and a Soviet Union flag. And the top of it said something, I don't have it in front of me, but it said something to the effect of, you know, rounding up people. You know, he wants to round up people and also build a giant wall. And below it, under the Nazi flag, it said been there, and under the Soviet flag, it said done that. Because guess what? That happened. We can sit here and not like the reality of history because, you know, we all love Donald Trump or whatever it is, whatever. It's true. So, I woke up this morning. It had been up for well over 24 hours. It had been seen, the last that I saw, it had been seen by over 1.3 million people. Had over 17,000 likes on the meme, and it was pulled. And I got banned from Facebook today for 24 hours for having posted that meme. There was nothing graphic. There was nothing violent. There was nothing sexual. It was just making a statement, which, you know, anybody that looks at historic facts would be hard-pressed to negate. So, as I sit here, I'm currently banned from interacting on Facebook. But Facebook pulled it down, which is insane. But that leads me into Claire's article that's going to be coming out tomorrow about her situation with Reddit and how this kind of all ties in together. Claire, tell us a little bit about that.
I am doing a series of articles on Nestle and their continued drawing of water from natural springs inside, you know, a national forest, for one. And so the second article in the series kind of freakishly went viral, particularly on Reddit. I guess somebody posted it to Reddit on the news board and made its way all the way from the back of the news board to the front page, and then started climbing the front page really rapidly. And at one point, someone told me that it was being upvoted at a rate of about 500 per minute. And so I was too much of a novice on Reddit to understand anything that's going on, so I was just refreshing the page and looking at the upvotes. And I kept doing that over and over again, and I saw it as 5,773, and I refreshed the page, and the article was gone. So I thought maybe I had done something wrong, and I looked everywhere for it, and I could not find it. I most of the help of some friends and coworkers, and we, you know, tried to get an explanation from the moderators on the news board, because the news board is ostensibly a very kind of quasi-prestigious board to have an article placed on. They have a really strict standards for it. Nobody ever got an explanation that was, you know, worth anything. So it, you know, remains a quote-unquote mystery of why it was taken down.
Well, I think with my experience today and the experience you're talking about, I don't think it's really a mystery. I think they try to silence dissent. I know that we've discussed this a little bit on here, that a good friend of mine who's very skeptical of most things, but he's a big Redditor, and he understands Reddit more than most people. And it just disappeared, so he sent me the link and showed that it was still actually up on Reddit, even though it had disappeared from the front page, as you said, and disappeared completely from the news. So he was like, well, I don't know. So then all of a sudden he starts sending me all these articles about, I think y'all are on something here, because there were a bunch of Glenn Greenwald articles about Snowden that would get deleted from the front page of Reddit. And it would, like, the same article would go up and they'd delete it. It'd go back up and they would delete it. And it's happening.
It's almost like maybe that the government has, like, their finger on the button or, oh, wait a minute. No, never mind. I'm sorry. I should have said that out loud, huh?
That's what's the rumor. I mean, that's largely believed to be true. I hear that constantly. You know, it's kind of been taken over by paid shows and, you know, other types that just, you're just dealing with the government. So and the corporatocracy, too, in particular, because they tend to promote big corporate, I don't know, various companies, and it seems like, I don't know, ideology, I guess.
The interesting thing for me in my situation is that I have had, you know, as anybody that's listened to the show well knows, multiple memes and articles about Chris Kyle, who everybody loves, death threats over it, reported over and over and over and over. People report these things. They never get pulled. I've never gotten a ban for those things. And, you know, when you put something up divisive, you're going to get a lot of people reporting that image or that article. And that did happen with Chris Kyle. Lots of people, hundreds and hundreds of people reported some of those things. Again, nothing ever happened to me. I was never banned. Nothing was ever pulled. But this, it was pulled, and I did get banned.
And again, this is something that really wasn't, I mean, out of all of them, there are a few of them we've kind of looked at, so like, I don't know about this. This was really not salacious at all. It was just making a great deal.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit, Shannon. But I think what you were trying to get at was that there was really nothing at all that was offensive, really, about the meme or the content of it, unless you were just a diehard brainwashed Trump supporter. It wasn't like you would just see that and go, "Oh, I can't believe that was posted." So it stands to reason, why then is that what is chosen to be pulled down, and who's behind this? Claire, what are your thoughts?
Well, there is a proven alliance between big corporations and the government, and they work together very closely, more, I think, than most people realize. And I believe this is a perfect working example of that, and I am not alone in that thought, by far. And there are some people who have experience in that area who believe very much the same thing. But part of what's interesting about that is that a lot of the information isn't as transparent, even to the people on the inside, as it should be. So, that's pretty shady.
There's not transparency going on. And I believe people, they live under this illusion, though, that there is transparency.
Mm-hmm.
But from our own experience, there's clearly not. And And I think with what we do, we inadvertently, accidentally stumble across what the real hot topics are that they don't want people discussing.
I think that's absolutely true. Obviously, we had a nerve, because if they really wanted to, why was it allowed to get, I think it was the number 3 on the front page of the news board before they decided suddenly to pull it down in the middle of, you know, the height of its popularity? Why did they let it get so far? You know,
I will say this, though. For your article, it hadn't been up that long. It had been up, what, maybe 3 hours?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was about 3 hours.
Okay, and the Trump meme had been up for over 24 hours.
Well, all eyes are upon us.
That is more than obvious at this point. It's very, it's very interesting, too, about what they pick and choose. You know, they'll let everybody in the world get mad over this story or that story, but if it's something they don't want people paying attention to, they'll just cut it out. And if you say that, well, that was deleted or that was this, you know, then you automatically become a conspiracy person, even though there's no conspiracy. It's reality, and you're just describing what really happened, but because it didn't happen to everybody, well, I didn't see it happen.
Right. And there are those situations where I think they think, why bother with, you know, false scenarios and, you know, time at all? We just need to shut this one up.
That's it.
Well, you know, I don't know if either one of y'all has kind of been paying attention to it, because I know we kind of really, I probably got a little bit burnt out by the whole Trump thing and started to back up a little bit. So whenever we see a story, we just shrug our shoulders and go ahead and flip to the next page or flip to the next channel, whatever it is. But one thing that I've noticed.
Sounds like we're getting some difficulties there with Shannon. If you can still hear me, Shannon, yeah, fix your phone. Make it work, because you're doing a poor job of it right now. Anyways, Claire, anything else? I know you've been going through, you've been super busy the past couple of days, and I know you've got the article coming out tomorrow. Any other stories you've been looking at, or is tomorrow the big story that everybody needs to pay attention to on the Pontiac Tribune?
I think that's the big story for now, but I am also working on a story about another pollinator that's been being harmed, but quite severely by pesticides, of course.
And for everybody that's been paying attention to Claire's other articles, please look out for that. You know, and it's sad. I say, like, oh, look out, like it's this great thing. You know, and in reality, you're coming out with something that, you know, we shouldn't need to be reporting on because it shouldn't be happening. But
and here we are.
And here we are. But Claire, get some rest. And thank you so much for calling in tonight. And thank you again for everything that you do.
All right. Thank you for having me. Good night, guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye, Ms. Claire.
So, can you hear me, Shannon?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay, we're losing you. I tell you what, right now I want to bring on the man himself, the editor-in-chief, Mr. Nick Burnaby. For our listeners, you may know him from Monday and Wednesday nights here on Anti-Media Radio. Nick, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing pretty well. I'm chilling here in the studio with Manny Aguilar as well. He's hanging out with me tonight. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain. Manny, how's it going?
Pretty good. I was just looking at, when I hear you getting banded, I said, welcome to my world there, Mr. S.M. Gibson.
Oh, well, you know, the world hasn't stopped revolving, so it'll be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I was down here in San Diego. We had a big 25 representatives from different countries talking about gay rights, lesbian rights, and transgender, and it was really good at the Pride Center down here in San Diego. And then Tuesday, I was across the border basically doing a story on the deported veterans, on a real injustice. You know, the, like I like to say, you have a saying here in the United States, the government used them, and then they spit them out. You know, they didn't care if they were undocumented when there was a war going on, but they send them back to Mexico, and that's kind of sad and all that. So it just, you know, And then yesterday they screened the movie of the 43, you know, Ayotzinapa students that got killed by the narco government and stuff like that. So that was something else too and all that, you know. So it's nice to be here in your show tonight. And I'm here with the gangster, you know, Nick Burnham, like that, you know, and I guess Shannon is somewhere else, huh? So what's up, Shannon?
He's dropping in and out, it seems like.
Yeah, I think we lost Shannon for right now. We're going to try to get him back. But, yeah, I think he's having difficulty with service right now.
So, Scott, I was wondering if you brought up the Seinfeld story yet.
I have not. I've got a whole list of stories to get to here that we hadn't got to yet. So, yeah, please go ahead and jump in on that.
Well, apparently last week Jerry Seinfeld's son was, you know, they set up a lemonade stand, you know, like a lot of kids do. And, you know, whether it's just to make a few bucks or whatever, this particular one was set up to raise funds for a charity, which happens to be Seinfeld's wife's charity called Baby Buggy. And they help people in need by sending them food and, you know, stuff they need for poor people. And it's a pretty decent charity from everything that I could find. And they set up a lemonade stand over in East Hampton, New York, which is, you know, a nice neighborhood. But, you know, one of the neighbors called the cops on him, man. And the cops show up and they bust up the lemonade stand and tell them to break it down.
Like, think of the concept of that. First off, we're talking about Jerry Seinfeld. It's not like the neighbor didn't recognize who their neighbor was. Like, they know who they live by. They're affluent, obviously, and they're calling the cops on the children of somebody, you know, that is not up to anything nefarious whatsoever.
Yeah, man, it's just completely, completely ridiculous, right? And, you know, we hear about these stories all the time because now, ever since, I don't know when it all started changing. I remember when I was a kid, we could get away with doing lemonade stands. We only did it like once because, you know, we didn't do that very much where I live. But, you know, people used to be able to do that kind of thing all the time. And now it's like you hear stories almost every week where it's like this little girl's out selling lemonade and they shut down the lemonade stand because it's not up to code or it's, you know, violating regulation or they didn't pay for the permit. And it's completely ridiculous. I mean, it's such a small little thing. Yeah, little lemonade stand, whatever. It's a little thing. But, dude, it just goes to show. It goes to show the bigger picture of this country, man. We're living in a I don't know what to call it. It's a police state, man. It's just completely over-regulated. It's completely bureaucratized. A bunch of laws that make no sense. Now, this lemonade stands aren't the only thing being shut down either. As the article talks about on the anti-media, there's also an 11-year-old last year got shut down because of she was making cupcakes and selling them, and apparently that was illegal as well. So, I mean, it's just all these little tiny red tape, bureaucratic, you know, bureaucratically intense laws that are going up all over the place. And in the end, what they're really designed to do, they're not really specifically designed to target these little kids and to target lemonade stands and stuff like that. That's a PR nightmare for these police departments, for these cops. And I bet you when these cops go and their superiors tell them, hey, go break up this lemonade stand, I'm sure that they don't enjoy doing it. But really what these laws are made to do, because I was doing a little bit of research on it today, is basically they're made to kill off little small entrepreneurs, whether we're talking about street vendors, people that make food in their homes and sell it at the marketplace, you know, people that are doing their own thing at their house, making food and stuff like that. This is what these laws are made and designed to crush, that kind of micro entrepreneurship. Now, there is, like in Salt Lake County up in Utah, they cut back a bunch of the red tape. I mean, you'd be surprised. I was reading the article about the laws that they changed with this legislation. Man, they remove hundreds and hundreds of these little taxes and permits and other things that are you know being used to crush micro entrepreneurship. But they specifically made a mention of the lemonade stand. So in certain places, they're making, you know, preempting these PR nightmares by kind of changing the laws and stuff. But it really is kind of telling about the mainstream kind of thought process that goes on within the city councils and within the governments, the state governments, whatever you want to call them. LA is facing a huge problem. Manny can talk about this a little bit. They're facing this huge issue with the street vendors, right? There's thousands and thousands of street vendors. In fact, studies have been conducted that shows that these street vendors bring in $500 million into the Los Angeles economy every year because they sell tacos on the street, or, you know, they're vending fruit cups or ices, whatever. They have all kinds of stuff that they sell on the street out there.
They got these little carts. They sell paletas like we do in Mexico. They go around the neighborhood and ring the bell, you know, and they're ice cream, they're selling paletas, you know, ice cream, but they're actually walking the little cart, not the mobile ones and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, SM, sometimes I forget what all this bullshit happened here in the United States. Sometimes I forget if I'm in Mexico in the United States, because they're starting to look the same as far as police day is concerned, you know?
Yeah, man. And this is, you know, it's really petty. And it's really telling about where we stand right now as a society. Now, the cool thing about this story about Seinfeld is that this kind of story can go mainstream, right? And this was, I think it was covered by like the New York Daily News, covered by one of the New York papers, one of the big news outlets. So, you know, now mainstream audiences can start seeing, holy shit, they're shutting down little kids' lemonade stands. A lot of people don't even know that this shit's going on.
But this has been going on for a while, though. It's not like, you know, and I guess maybe it is good that it happened to somebody like Jerry Seinfeld, because that will bring attention to something that should have been addressed a long time ago. But Jerry Seinfeld and his child, this is not the first time this has happened by any stretch. This has been going on for a minute.
Yeah, man, there's literally hundreds of articles. I was doing the research today, hundreds and hundreds of examples of lemonade stands being shut down. There was another one from last week in Texas. And, you know, Texas is supposed to be a state where it's, oh, yeah, we don't believe in government regulation, all this other shit. It's like, no, you do. This is the same state that banned Tesla cars from being sold. You believe in government regulation. You just don't believe in regulating companies that are in that have the politicians in their pockets. Come on, let's be a little more honest here. You know what I mean? And so there's nobody up there lobbying for little girls that open lemonade stands. We don't have no lobbyists that do that kind of shit. They got lobbyists for Ford and Chevy in Texas. They don't got lobbyists for lemonade stands. You know, and this kind of goes to show, man. It just goes to show that the government isn't representing the average Joe, the average person with kids that need to open lemonade stands because maybe they need money or they need to pay for their sixth grade camp or whatever it is that they're trying to do. There's no lobbyists up there taking care of us. They're up there taking care of the auto companies, the banks, and all these other things. And yet at the same time, we're paying all their bills and they screw us with all these petty little bullshit laws that they're passing to regulate every little tiny industry that exists out there.
Well, I tell you what, Nick, real quick, I don't want to really go back into this, but I just had an article come across my desk from 2012, speaking of money influencing things, and it does appear that Donald Trump fucking Facebook by his own admission. So that kind of ties into the people with money controlling things and what I was discussing earlier as far as my current band right now.
Sorry, you broke up slightly there. I heard Donald Trump and I heard Facebook. I didn't hear what you said in between.
He actually has has bought a lot of stock, has a lot of shares in Facebook, from an article. In 2012, he was very open about buying into Facebook. So, you know, that's something definitely worth looking into a little bit further. But it definitely shows you how the people with the money control things, and it could explain a lot about why I'm sitting on a ban right now.
Yeah, man, and you're on timeout because you made a valid criticism of Donald Trump and his followers that claim to not care about political correctness. You're just mad because he's telling the truth. Well, yeah, we're telling the truth about him too, but it offends you, doesn't it? You know what I'm saying? These guys are complete hypocrites, man.
One of the things that he's going to be paying the price for, he just messed with the most powerful Latino journalist in the world. He's made a big mistake, you know?
Well, and not only that, he... I can't speak for Ramos, but I can speak for myself. And he definitely messed with somebody that's as big of an asshole as he is. So, and talking about myself, so. So we'll see how this goes down.
Oh, they'll be feeling it tomorrow, I have a feeling. But yeah, man, I mean, complete hypocrisy. These guys, oh, don't, why everyone's got a problem being being offended and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, dude, so do you. Sorry to say it, but so do you.
Right.
These guys are complete hypocrites, man. And I still get, we still get people on the anti-media Facebook page trying to argue pro-Trump and this kind of argument. I mean, these nuts blows Trump out of the water, I think. I know who has my vote, and I'm voting for these nuts. And I think Shannon is kind of on that same page with me as well.
Vermin Supreme, I'm really hoping that Vermin Supreme and these nuts they're going to split ticket. I'm gunning for it. Supreme Nuts 2016.
Supreme Nuts.
No, forget it. You vote for the candidate that I told you guys to vote for. Nobody.
I think we're going to get the same result either way. At least we don't have Donald Trump sitting in that chair. Man, can you? That just blows my mind that we're even talking about Donald Trump as a serious candidate.
I'll be honest.
This is too much.
Nobody for president has ever promised me a free pony, and Vermin Supreme has. So, you know, I am leaning more towards Vermin Supreme right now because of the free pony.
Yeah, man,
free pony, and he's willing to work with these nuts. I mean, that's awesome. Anybody willing to work with nuts has my vote always.
Yeah, man, a Supreme Nuts ticket would be pretty unstoppable, I think.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I wanted to see what you guys thought about Joe Biden, and because, you know, he's now going to be pushed in as like the go-to candidate for the Democrats, because I mean, I've been kind of saying this the whole time, and I hate to be right on this stuff sometimes because it's really sad because it is so orchestrated, but I've been saying that Hillary Clinton was chosen to lose against the Republicans, and now we know that many of these candidates have implosions right before the final elections and stuff, and I'm pretty sure that the plan all along was for Hillary Clinton to have this implosion regarding her email scandal and all that stuff, but it wasn't supposed to happen right now. It was supposed to happen later on after the primaries were already done with, so then it guaranteed that the Republican guy is going to win. But now this implosion is going on a little bit prematurely, so now they're like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? Oh, send Biden in there. Biden can't win, but at least, you know, it looks like he's running somebody.
He is a Hail Mary, but he's not a complete Hail Mary because, you know, I've said this for quite a while now, is I believe that he was kind of the backup plan, that if things go wrong with Hillary, they've at least got Biden to go in there and be the placeholder to lose to whoever the Republican candidate is. And they see Hillary's, you know, that ship is sinking so fast.
Hey, guys, can I ask a question really quick? Who's this Joe Biden guy y'all keep talking about?
I think he's like Secretary of State or something, right?
He's already in the government now. What does he do?
Exactly. What does he do?
I've never heard of this guy. I'm sorry. I guess I'm out of touch. I don't know who this Joe Biden fellow is.
He goes to this is what I know about him. He goes to 7-Eleven, and there's always Indians working in the 7-Eleven.
I can get behind that kind of candidate. Yeah. I like 7-Eleven.
He was the guy that when they asked him, are there any minorities around when you leave, he said, of course, because I go in 7-Eleven, and there's always Indians in there.
Always.
Always.
Well, at least you know he watches The Simpsons, so he's not a complete liberal, because Simpsons are still out on the Fox channel. now, here's the thing, man, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but everybody knows, and I see this even in the mainstream articles, everybody knows that Joe Biden is completely, completely gaffe prone. He goes around and he fucks. Okay, I just made a gaffe right there. But Joe Biden goes around and he says a bunch of dumb shit all the time. And he's reliably going to say dumb shit. He's a perfect candidate to lose. You know, and this is exactly why they want him in there because
he's more likable than Hillary, though, because nobody likes Hillary at this point. I don't care what the rhetoric on TV is. Nobody likes her.
I don't even think Hillary likes Hillary, if you want to get down to it. I bet you look in the mirror every morning like, God damn you.
But Biden, I think, is more of a kind of a you know, the old goofball, oh, that old man, that crazy old man. And then, of course, too, with the son having just passed away, I think that could garner some sympathy votes. I think he's actually, even though he has nothing to run on, is a stronger candidate politically in the political climate that we live in today than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, man, that's very, very possible. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, man, is I don't think the Democrats are trying to win this election.
They really aren't. They're not.
They aren't. They don't want to be responsible for what's going to go on in the coming years with Iran and Russia and China and all that. They want to blame that on the Republican guys. And, you know, we all know this stuff's a big show. Romney, just like Romney in 2012 was kind of hand chosen to run against Obama to lose. I mean, come on, it's in the middle of the Occupy movement. You're going to put a guy that's worth $400 million to run. Come on, dude, get real. I mean, Romney was, there was no enthusiasm behind Romney, just like there's no enthusiasm behind Hillary. Now the thing that's kind of interesting me, and it really goes to show how weak Hillary has become, is that now Bernie Sanders has overcome Hillary in New Hampshire in the polls. You know, he's got something like a 7-point lead now in the polls in New Hampshire, man. And that is something that the Democratic establishment does not want. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan, and I disagree with many of his policies, but he is basically like the Ron Paul of the Democrats, and the Democrats hate the Democratic establishment don't want people hearing his message.
No, they don't.
Because he's talking about a bunch of these corporations, and the media, if you've noticed, the media really just treats him like shit. The mainstream media, I mean, the only people that give him any play in the mainstream is probably Huffington Post. The media treats him like shit because he's out here criticizing these corporations. We all know that these corporations own the media too. So they don't want this message getting out there. So they do everything they can. It's like, oh yeah, people like Bernie Sanders, but he has no chance in winning. And this narrative has been reinforced. But to see that he's overcome Hillary in New Hampshire, man, that's pretty amazing. And it just goes to show how weak, you know, Hillary Clinton really is.
But here's the thing. It doesn't really – you literally have – a 15-year-old kid from Iowa that registered as D's nuts getting 9%, and people are amazed that Bernie Sanders is polling as high as he is. Like, people are that fed up. It's just like, whatever's not the people they're telling me to vote for is who I'm going to vote for. And that's what Bernie Sanders has kind of become. And I agree with your assessment that a lot of people are viewing Bernie Sanders as kind of like, you know, the liberal Democrat version of Ron Paul. But at the same time, I think a lot of the Ron Paul's people, whether you agree or disagree with them, they were consistent in their ideologies, whereas Bernie Sanders people, they're fed up with everything. And yet, at the same time, they're saying, well, we should give more control to the government to fix it.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's definitely a different spectrum of ideology. There is definitely some middle ground there.
There is, yes.
But, you know, it is interesting, and that's what I do value about Bernie Sanders' campaign is a lot of his anti-corporate message. I don't agree with a lot of his stuff, but he does tell the truth on a lot of this Wall Street stuff and these big companies running the government. He's right about that kind of stuff. Now, you know, the problem is that with his platform, it's like, you know, the problem is that these big corporations are running our government, therefore let's give more power to the government. It's like, wait, didn't you just say that they were – you know, the government is owned by the corporations. So therefore, it kind of doesn't make that much sense. I don't want to offend anybody out there that's a Bernie Sanders fan. By all means, go ahead and vote for him. But, you know, that's kind of just where I find it a bit hypocritical. But otherwise, I mean, he carries a great message. The media is never going to allow this guy to win. You know, they've already announced that. They've already said, hey, look, yeah, you guys all like him, but he's just not electable, and therefore we're not, you know, going to even give him a fair chance. And so, you know, it's going to probably be Biden. You know, it's going to be Biden versus probably,
yeah,
you know, from my predictions, it'll probably be Marco Rubio. It could be Jeb Bush.
I honestly tell you what, Trump,
but you never know.
I was sitting there watching today, and they were talking about the whole Trump circus and what's going to happen, because Trump is like just destroying everybody in every single poll right now. And the argument was, is okay, so what are you going to do when you don't have all these candidates in the race and these, you know, the numbers start condensing? Are all these other people going to back Trump? and they were talking about, you know, how Trump is, you know, the best entertainer, and he's not boring, even though if you hate him, he's not boring and he's entertaining. But, you know, the Republicans, especially, is what they were referring to, is about how it's just boring, we don't want to vote for that, and they dwindling it down from Trump to these other guys, and they ended up with Marco Rubio.
Of course, because that's the guy that is being handpicked to win the presidency.
Middle ground of all the candidates was Marco Rubio.
Hillary implodes. Joe Biden makes it to the general election. Then he makes a bunch of gaffes right before the vote. And then Rubio is going to be able to say, yeah, Donald Trump's an idiot. If you're Hispanic, vote for me. And this is, you know, and he's going to be able to say it in Spanish. And this is what's going to happen, man. We're going to have Marco Rubio as our next president. But here's what I got to say about Marco Rubio. He is George Bush 2.0. George W. Bush 2.0. He is worse than Bush because he's more well-spoken. He's a lot smarter. He's a lot more dangerous, man. He's like a neocon, openly neocon version of Obama that is going to be able to get away with a lot of shit. And, you know, this is the guy that's going to get us entangled in some very, very serious wars that make the shit going on right now with the war on terror look like child's play.
And that's what I'm really worried about. And how much do you want to bet he puts Jeb in to his cabinet? Bet money.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that at all, man. Secretary of State or something like that.
Yeah, and I think they're running Jeb. I think the whole time Jeb has been running, from what we've discussed over the past, geez, it's been at least a year now we've been discussing the whole Rubio thing, and you came up with that theory a long time ago, and I was like, I don't know. I thought they were going to go with Jeb. But the more time goes on, it's like they're running Jeb to, like, oh, he's a Bush, don't vote for him. So they're pushing everybody in the direction of Rubio, and yet he is a Bush, but look at every voting stance he's ever had. Look at everything he's ever done. And they're like, oh, you're not getting a Bush. You're getting this guy. But he's just a Bush. I think people got offended one time. I referred to him in an article as the swarthy Bush.
Yeah, man. I mean, he really is, man. And, you know, Bush may be his Cheney. You know, they put him on as vice president or something like that. I don't know. Everyone knows that Bush is evil, but, you know, Rubio seems like a nice guy. And, you know, he really does. He comes off as a pretty genuinely nice guy, but, you know, I hate to say it, but he's not. He wants to fight war with Iran. He wants to continue the Monroe Doctrine. He thinks that we should continue to isolate Cuba. He'd probably help continue to push Venezuela to the brink of collapse, which is what we're doing right now. And everybody loves to credit socialism for the fall of Venezuela, and yeah, that's probably partially correct. But Venezuela is a victim of U.S. foreign policy worse than any other country in South America at this moment in time. They got a complete embargo on them. They have no economic relations, constantly undermining their government with yellow revolutions and these kind of things, man. I mean, Venezuela, you know, if it were left to, you know, be free and commit trade with other nations, it may still be in a pretty sad shape, but it wouldn't be what it's in right now, man, where the people can't even get toilet paper, basic necessities like food and water. You know, people are rioting in the entire country in Venezuela. You know, we thought Ferguson and Baltimore were bad. We're talking about riots across an entire country right now in Venezuela, bro. And our government, I hate to say it, is very much responsible for what's going on in Venezuela and for the pain and suffering of millions of civilian people down in Venezuela just because we don't agree with their government. And so that's an undertold story, man, that really is sad. And everybody loves to blame the economic system down there, which, like I said, I don't doubt that that's at least part of it. But, man, we're destroying them with the Monroe Doctrine right now. Anyone not familiar with the Monroe Doctrine, definitely want to look that up. That's why we overthrew basically every country in Latin America, including, you know, how many times did we invade Cuba? Like two and a half times. We tried it again under Kennedy even. At least he wasn't as brazen to just go outright invade them. At least they tried to make it look like it was actually Cubans overthrowing it. But you know, we've overthrown basically every government down in Latin America. And Carrie Wedler, one of our awesome journalists, is going to be putting out an article on that scenario next week. about how our foreign policy has decimated a lot of these countries down in Latin America. And then people wonder why, oh, well, why are all these Latin American people trying to get to the U.S.? Well, dude, if you want to listen to Trump, have at it. But that's the reactionary stance. If you want to look at the reality is, it's because we've been overthrowing those governments for the past 100 years down there and destroying any sense of stability that they've had. I mean, look at Panama, dude. We helped overthrow the government of Panama just so that we can go and build a canal. I mean, we overthrew the government, was it Guatemala, just so we can grow bananas. I mean, it's petty shit that we're doing and sacrificing millions of lives for it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, we won't have to worry about any of that anymore because we've got that wall going up in a couple of years, and we're going to be good, man. We'll just put the wall up and let them just duke it out. Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, I mean this is the logic that's prevailing right now on the right, unfortunately, and it's go do whatever we want to these countries and just build giant walls around them so that the people can't leave once we destroy it, and they just get stuck with civil wars, and I mean it's just horrible, man. It's really bad logic. It's really bad rhetoric. And also the biggest thing to me is the funniest thing is that Trump's a billionaire and people would expect this guy to be decent on economics and stuff, but his economics are so flawed when it comes to the immigration issue, man. Immigration is the biggest, the single thing that's helping the U.S. economy right now. Everything else is pretty much working against us. The immigration is the only thing holding our economy up, because everybody knows that if you have a shrinking population or a stagnating population, your economy is going to start contracting. That's exactly what's going on in Russia, Japan, Western Europe, Northern Europe. I mean, all of these countries, their economies are shrinking because they've reached their peak population, and now it's declining. And now with the population decline comes an economic decline. The only thing that's holding the American economy up right now is immigration. And for all saying like, oh yeah, they're destroying the economy, taking our jobs. No, dude, these guys are the ones creating the jobs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is just totally illogical whether we're talking about economics, whether we're talking about ethics or foreign policy. Being against immigration is illogical on every angle.
Yeah, one of the things I want to say about what Donald Trump has created an immigration system, it has always been on the Mexican books, but they weren't enforcing it. Now, as of August of 18, anybody that walks across that's a U.S. citizen has to now get a visa. Just because of Trump, because they pissed off the Mexican government,
Yeah, man, and now we're suffering because of Trump's ass. The Mexican government is retaliating against people over here that want to go visit Mexico. Now, if I want to visit Mexico, I got to go through this huge process just to get into the country to go down there and have tacos or whatever, go visit some friends. Now it's a huge pain in the ass because of all this horrible rhetoric that's going around, So it's already affecting me, man. That's why I take personal offense to what Trump says and all of his horrible rhetoric, because I know firsthand that what he's saying isn't true.
But Trump doesn't go far enough. I say build up walls between every state, and then we'll eventually have 50-foot walls between every county and then every piece of land. Let's just go that way. Because let's just live in fear. Let's live in fear for the rest of our lives. We need bars on every window. We need walls in front of every house. And we'll just all be stuck and starved to death.
That sounds like a really good plan, man, and living in fear and building walls everywhere. Hey, didn't the Soviets do that too? It worked out pretty well for them, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. They had awesome uniforms. They were good at hockey. It worked out great.
Yeah, man. I mean, shit, dude. It's just so dumb. It's so barbaric and reactionary. It's just hard to believe that anyone's buying into it, But, the fact of the matter, I think it was Carlin that said it, think about the average person and how dumb the average person is, and just remember that 50% of people are even dumber than that. It's such a true statement, man. There's a lot of dumb people around, and unfortunately a lot of the dumb people vote a lot and they elect these idiots. And look at Bush, and everyone got fooled by Obama. I mean, a lot of my friends got fooled by Obama, but you can't blame them sometimes, man, because the propaganda is so strong. And
very much I think right now, though, and I'm not saying endorsing either candidate, we discussed one of them a little bit earlier. I think to really have an honest discussion about what's going on in this country right now with everything, I think the two candidates should be Bernie Sanders and Rand Paul. because I think at least with those two people running, you can have an honest debate and discussion about what's really happening in this country, you know, for better or worse, you know, and that's not to say either person should win or be the president. I just think you're going to get closer to a legitimate discussion between the American populace if those two guys are running.
And then you got the dumb people that Nick was talking about, and then the other half are over-medicated.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
Well, yeah, there's that.
And that plays a role in this, you know, and I think you're right, SM, about, you know, if we're actually going to have a real discussion, it would be between Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders, and then people can kind of take what they like from those conversations, which is exactly why those two candidates aren't going to be in the general election, you know, because that's not a conversation that the establishment wants to have, you know, and so the media,
absolutely,
it's all part of it. The media is part of this corporate establishment that owns the government, all that. The media is not going to allow that shit to happen.
Never.
And it'll come down whether they got to lie, whether they got to manipulate, whether they got to put propaganda. And at the very last resort, you know, if they got to just rig the voting and you know, mess with the voting machine, and that's the last resort. They normally don't have to do that. Sometimes they do, though, and they'll do it if it comes down to it. And so, you know, they try to take care of it psychologically first and trick everyone into supporting someone like Rubio. Normally they're successful at that. I'm pretty sure they were successful at that with Obama. But, you know, in the case of Bush versus Gore, as horrible as Gore was, you know, there's plenty of allegations that the voting was tampered with down in Florida. In fact, there's a whole documentary on it. In fact, you showed it to me, SM. I think it's called Hacking Democracy. Their voting fraud goes on in the U.S., and it's nothing to do with these conservatives and how they say, oh, we need voter ID and this, that, and the other, and how they say that dead people are voting. That has nothing to do with the actual cheating on the voting, man. The real cheating goes on in a coordinated way.
That was, I think the whole dead people voting and the whole whatever voting, I think that used to happen before all the technology we have now. Now they don't need that. They can, you know, it's rigged through technology, and they can just make things look like they want.
And let's just suppose for a moment, that, okay, this technology is going to be infallible, and we have one of these candidates gets elected in a landslide, but no, then we have the Electoral College to take care of that whole little mess. And of course, you know, I really think we missed the boat, and we should have had a punk band together, SM, the Hanging Chads.
Say what? Say that one more time, Shannon.
I really think that we should have started a punk band and called it the Hanging Chads.
I'm okay with that. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, man, the Electoral College itself is a flawed process, dude, you know, and it we're so far removed from democracy. I was having a conversation with some of my buddies last night about how, you know, you lose accountability every step you take away from being physically being able to see someone and touch someone. If you know, you have a problem at your local city council, you could actually go down there and yell and scream in their faces, and they may not listen to you, but at least you could see them and you could make them hear you. The further you remove these politicians from your real life, so, you know, whether it's your House of Representatives or your senator, I mean, I've never seen a senator in my life. I've only seen one congressperson in my life. I've never talked to one, and I've sure as hell never seen a president. And even if you do see them, it's like if you're at like a rally and you're like way far on the back and you see them from far away and stuff, but there's no accountability left, man. Even if you wanted to go tell these guys something or grab them by their arm and remove them from office, you see what happens when people jump over the White House lawn fence, you know, and they try to go talk to Obama or tell him, no, dude, you get taken down. If you don't get taken down, you get gunned down. You know, there's zero accountability left.
I can fix all that for everybody, though. If you want to hold your politicians accountable, go out, earn $5 billion, steal $5 billion, or however you have to get $5 billion. And then the politicians are doing whatever you want. But I tell you what, thank you so much, Manny. Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you so much, Shannon. Thank you, everybody, for calling in tonight. Make sure to join us next week. Anti-Media Radio out.
Good night.
Supreme Nuts. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.